evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country. Today is Monday, April 21st, 2014. Today is 25 days until May 16th, which is OAS Day, Operation American Spring in Washington, D.C. So the countdown is on. We plan on having some guests on the show tonight, but there's been a little bit of a mix-up with some scheduling, so hopefully we work it out. But until then, I'm going to go ahead and get started on Operation American Spring, because it is coming. I don't know how many of you are familiar with what Operation American Spring is, but I'll tell you a little bit about it, and then you can check out some information. You can go to the website, OperationAmericanSpring.org. That's the official website. This is the legal way for the people, the sovereign government of the United States of America, to take back our government. There's been a declaration of administrative revisions delivered to every congressional representative in the United States Congress, congressional representative there. So every senator and every House representative has received this, and so has the president and the administration holder and company and all those folks. So they've received this. It's a letter, a cover letter, and then the actual declaration of administrative revision, which stipulates our demands. Excuse me. And it was Colonel Harry Riley who put this all together. This has been underway since back in October. This is nothing that's just started. The media doesn't want to report on it. You can use your own. And this includes all the media. Fox News isn't reporting on it. Glenn Beck isn't reporting on it. None of them are reporting on Operation American Spring, even though it's been out there since October. So when people really ought to start coming down on Glenn Beck, because he's already being converted over into the mainstream media, where he's out there saying some really pretty silly things to me, which sounds a lot like mainstream media, that he claims the truth lives here and kind of stuff. So when it comes to this stuff, people really should be pounding him, sending a lot of emails to Glenn Beck, the Blaze, and et cetera, saying, you know, where's the truth? Show me the truth, because they are totally ignoring Operation American Spring. I mean, I don't listen to Glenn Beck every single day and every whatever kind of thing. So it's not that it couldn't have been out there and I didn't hear it, but when I've gone out there and looked for stuff on it, I don't see anything coming up under the Blaze. So with that being said, just keep that in mind. We need to force Glenn Beck to report the truth like he claims he is so interested in doing. But people need to understand Operation American Spring. And excuse me. And let's see here. If you call in, by the way, the call-in number is 347-857-4364. And if you want to speak on the air, make sure you press 1 to speak on the air. Otherwise, I do not bring you into the conversation. And let's see. What else is going on here? We're going to talk a little bit about, say, Operation American Spring. I'm going to read the declaration. If we don't get the, if the guests do not show up, we will, I'm going to read over the Declaration of Administrative Revisions, effective May 16th, 2014. So keep that in mind, and then I'll read this cover letter as well. We need as many Americans in Washington, D.C. as can possibly be there. If you're not physically able to go, you need to sponsor someone, help someone pay the gas, whatever it may be, to get someone else there. We need to do what we can. Some people are going to be doing rallies on their state capitals if you can do that too. But we really need to have the masses. We need to have the same type of unity, united people defending our rights, the same thing that happened in Nevada, only we have to have it at a nationwide level at the Capitol. And we need to be in Washington, D.C., and the thing is, and you got to understand about Operation American Spring, it only starts on the 16th. 25 days from today, Operation American Spring starts on Washington, D.C. And it's going to last until the people have taken back their government. No violence. People are told to not come in fatigues. Do not come in with any kind of arms. You know, this is a peaceful protest, and it's a restoration of our government, the sovereign people of the United States of America. The government is the sovereign people. We, the people, are the sovereign government. These people who are in public office today have no clue what that means. So we have to teach them. We have to take the Constitution and all the information here, the articles of impeachment and everything, have all been written up by a constitutional attorney, Michael Connolly. Many of you have heard, and he's been on this show in the past. It was a couple years ago, but he has been on our show in the past. And we need to force the hand. Harry Reid, you've got to go. Harry Reid, after everything that's gone on in Nevada, the guy should be impeached to the max. He should not be there. He should be taken to court. And there's something really sick when those in Washington, D.C. don't demand it. Those who are supposed to be representing us, representing the will of the people, are ignoring us. So what is the deal? Why are they not taking action? But that's all part of this massive cancer that has become this government. And if the people do not take it back, we will be a third world country. You will have no freedom, and you will fall to the likes of China, or who knows, even Putin at this point. But China is the one that's out there, and we've talked about it on this show, where Hillary Clinton and Obama gave eminent domain rights to China if the U.S. defaults on its loans. So that was a deal that was already done, and I have talked about it on the show in the past. You can look it up in the archives. But now it's more and more so, China is going out there and it's exercising its power over various countries when they default on any kind of loan by taking over the land. And do you think for 1 minute this government would not sell our land? They've already sold half of it to China anyway. I mean, most people don't realize the naval base in Long Beach, California has been taken over by a Chinese company. Can you imagine a naval base? A Chinese company owns it, controls it? Aren't we setting them up nicely for them to be able to occupy our naval training or our Navy base? Long Beach, this happened a few years back when Clinton was in charge. So it doesn't matter who's in charge. You forget, you know, the parties mean nothing. Don't pay any attention to those stupid parties. And then I guess it was this past year, I don't even think it's been a year, but maybe a year now, Smithfield Foods was bought out by a Chinese company. I will never buy anything from Smithfield Foods again, Smithfield Meats. I will never buy another one of their products. China has taken over that in this country, literally taken over that plant. And those are a couple of them that I know, and I'm sure there's more. Our monuments are being sold off to international entities. To say that America's for sale is a major understatement. So, again, May 16th. If you think what happened, if you were a supporter of the Bundy Ranch in Nevada, if you still support the Bundy Ranch in Nevada, then you need to do everything you can to be in Washington, D.C. on May 16th. You need to be there because it's critical that we the people come together united. And this is Americans. Leave all the other crap behind. I don't care where you came from. Be an American and protect your country. If all you care about is saving the Southwest and taking back the Alamo to Mexico or whatever else, you're not an American. And I'll say that to your face any day you want me to. Because you're not. If you're thinking that somehow, some way, we took over Mexico, that we stole it from Mexico. We didn't steal it. Mexico attacked us. We defended ourselves. We won the war. It's really quite that simple. So the La Raza people, they're not Americans. If you call yourself a Latino, you're not an American. If you're more concerned with being a Latino, then you're not an American. Go back to whatever South American country you want to be, whatever it is. If you're an American, show up May 16th, Washington, D.C. I am going to do my best to be there. If I'm not able to be there, I will help sponsor somebody to be there. And maybe I won't be there on the 16th, but I'll be there in the later part. Because this thing isn't going to go, this is not a one-day event. People have to understand, this is not a one-day event. This is not a time when we just go there and rah, 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 you know, God bless America, stop doing these all these bad things. This is much more than this. This is our legal right. We are demanding that these certain people leave. And we have to do something about it. This is the way. This is our right. We, the people of the United States of America, as a sovereign people, we have the right to take back this government. It is us. We are the government, not these yahoos that are in public office today. These elitists have totally lost their way, and with few exceptions, and I mean, I know, I truly do believe there's a small handful of true American statesmen who play the game some to survive, but by and large, they do the right thing. They promote the Constitution. And I don't really want to see them leave, but if they all leave, it's okay with me because we have to flush the sewage out. Now, they're not all listed on the actual demands. Let me see if I can find this one, the information on the one here. The demands, I can read this. And again, this was the Declaration of Administrative Revision effective May 16, 2014. Patriotic citizens and unwavering faith in our Creator. Hold on one second. Excuse me, I didn't want to sneeze in your ear, so thank you, I'm back. Unwavering faith in our Creator, whose divine hand guided our founding fathers in composing the United States Constitution, we acknowledge that many in current leadership are willfully violating their constitutional obligations or are complicit in the actions of others infringing the rights of the people, including but not limited to freedom of speech, freedom of religion, right to bear arms, free and fair elections, right to counsel, and due process of law. Under the rights implicit in our people, as stipulated in the First Amendment, we hereby demand immediate restoration of our government under its intended constitutional principles, rule of law, freedom and personal liberty, and a return to government of the people, for the people, by the people, free of despotic and tyrannical federal government. To begin the recovery of our rightful government, we demand immediate, lawful, and orderly replacement of the following office holders: Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, Nancy Pelosi, and Eric Holder, according to the process allowed and stipulated in our Constitution. And we have someone joining us. Okay, caller, you are on the air.
Well, I guess better late than never. Goodness gracious. I'm so wrapped up in getting the video stuff going. Unbelievable. I'm so busy getting the video stuff up, I just neglected to look at the time. Go figure, right? Well,
yeah.
But I did. It's up. And just so anybody that's listening wants to, they can go to yourlivenetwork.com, and the second player, the top one is not hooked up right now, but the second player is, and just hit the play button on it, and you will see my bright, shining face, and we are going to be using this as a means of getting the message out there in more than one way now. We have a new medium.
Excellent. And go ahead and introduce yourself if you'd like, or I can.
Okay.
If they don't
Hi, everybody. My name is Carl Swinson, in case you haven't figured that out. And I was supposed to be the on-time guest here tonight, but as luck would have it, that was not to be. I hope I didn't cause you any moments of discomfort there.
I kind of figured you, I knew that you would be here. I just figured, and I even said at the beginning, we've got some guests scheduled, and we're having a little bit of overlapping schedules, scheduling conflicts here, but we'll see how it all plays out. So, yes.
it's just been crazy, Sal. Absolutely crazy, and I'm just now starting to, get my catch my wind again, because it's been a whirlwind. I've taken a lot of time off so that I can get this thing going. As a matter of fact, I've taken so much time off that I'm officially retired from the computer business. Yay! No more of that rat race. I'm going to be running around. I want to be running around for America.
Thank God for that. Well, let me just give you a quick update on where we've been, because I know you haven't been out there too long. We've got some other people out there listening. But I was just talking, reminding people that Operation Spring is in 25 days, and that's strictly the start. Operation Spring is not a one-day event. And I was starting to read over some of the Declaration of the Administrative Revisions, and specifically that favorite part where it says, to begin the recovery of our rightful government, we demand immediate, lawful, and orderly replacement of the following office holders: Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, John Boehner, Nancy Pelosi, and Eric Holder, according to the process allowed and stipulated in our Constitution. This is what this is all about. This is the legal process, our rights, exercising our rights to take back our government. The government, we the people, are the sovereign government of the United States of America, not these elitists who have lost their way and violate their oath every day up in Washington. So that was kind of where I was going, and I know you've got updates on Operation American Spring, and also we're going to talk about good old Harry Reid. So on that note, I'll take some time out here and let you go ahead and give us some info.
Yeah, the whole point of this is now the push towards May 16th to make sure that we get as many bodies in Washington, D.C. as is humanly possible. There's no getting around it. We've reached the end of our particular rope. We have no more peaceful options to consider at this point. This is it. So I know that there's others out there that would say, here we go again. Just people go up there and they just want to jack their jaws and do nothing, and they're not serious about getting anything accomplished. And to those people, I would say you couldn't be further from the truth, because we have every intention of taking care of business, and America's business is that we remove, at least to start with, the top seven criminals in charge. We are in a world of trouble here, in a world of hurt, and there's nothing more disgusting to any of us than to consider the fact that we're run by and overrun by a communist dictatorship. And we didn't know it. We had no earthly idea. We grew up our entire lives thinking that this was this democracy that we were being taught. Democracy. Yeah, that's what they were telling us. It's a democracy. Well, as you know, it is anything but a democracy. What we are supposed to have is a constitutional republic. And we are just neglecting that time and time again. We're neglecting that. And as luck would have it, for whatever reason here tonight, folks, I've had this thing up all day long, and right now it is showing that it is up, and yet my website is not cooperating with me. So if you're not on, well, this just goes to show what it happens when you get in the beta stage of trying to figure something new out. But getting back to what I was saying, we have no options in our in a bag of tricks anymore. And all we can do is understand to the best of our ability what has happened and change what needs to be changed to get back to the place where we have always thought we were in the first place. We've always thought that we were living in a constitutional republic, and we're not. And that's, if Obama has done anything good by being elected, it has been to cause people to actually stop and take a look and see what in the good Lord's name has happened to this nation. And everybody has been doing that. Those that have been after it for a lot of years are finally feeling vindicated for all of the wonderful research and effort that they put into this. And God bless them all. Because we probably wouldn't have had the super head start that we needed in order to get to the root cause of our problems. We've been dealing with symptoms, always symptoms. Every crisis is a symptom. Every crisis deserves a legislative remedy, which in turn causes another symptom. And the Internet is just absolutely cram-packed full of people addressing one symptom or another, but no one, save for a few, has taken the time to take it to the root cause of the disease. And some will say, yeah, well, of course, the root cause is Washington, D.C. Well, yeah, your gut instinct is correct when you say that, but do you really know why? And that's where we've been. That's where we're going with this. Yeah, now we know why. We know why, because of these researchers, all the hard work they've done, and they've helped us to reduce it down to the salient points, which today have reduced it down to this. If you want to know what type of society we live in, I ask you to go pick up anywhere you want on the internet or in a bookstore, The 10 Planks of the Communist Party. Just do that. Read the planks. And if you don't have them available to you, let me help you out with that. The first one is abolition of private property and the application of all rents of land to public purposes. Okay, well, what does that mean? How does that apply? Well, Americans do these with actions such as the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution and various zoning, school, and property taxes. Also, see, you love this, the Bureau of Land Management. Zoning laws are the first step to government property ownership. And isn't that what we're seeing? Isn't that what we're fighting out in Nevada right now? Geez. So, plank number one seems to be firmly in their corner. Plank number two, a heavy, progressive, or graduated income tax. We already know this is this as misapplication of the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the Social Security Act, 1936. Joint House Resolution 192 of 1933, and various state income taxes, and we call it pay your fair share. Wow, okay. Yeah, but that's only two. Number three, abolition of all rights of inheritance. Well, don't we call it federal and estate tax? Or reform the probate laws and limited inheritance via arbitrary inheritance tax statutes? Whoops. That's three of them. How about four? Confiscation of the property of all immigrants and rebels. All immigrants and rebels. Americans call it government seizure, tax liens, public law 99-570, executive order 11490, sections 1205, which gives private land to the Department of Urban Development the imprisonment of terrorists and those who speak out or write against the government. 1997 crime terrorist bill. Or the IRS confiscation of property without due process. Asset foreclosure. Those laws are used by the DEA, IRS, and ATF. Dang, that's four in a row. Number five, centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Let's see, do I really need to go there? Do I really need to mention Federal Reserve? Been there for a long time. Matter of fact, been there since, 1913. Dirty little secret. So that brings us up to the second half. And we have so far only covered the first five, and every one of them seems to be firmly in the corner of the communists. Number six, centralization of the means of communications and transportation in the hands of the state. Centralization of the means of communication and transportation in the hands of the state. How can that apply? Well, we call it the Federal Communications Commission and the Department of Transportation, FCC and DOT, mandated through the ICC Act of 1887, the Commissions Act of 1934. And folks, this 1930s number keeps cropping up, and it does so for a reason. We'll get there in a little bit. Interstate Commerce Commission, established in 1938. Federal Aviation Administration. Federal Communications Commission and Executive Orders 11490, 10999, as well as state mandated driver's licenses and the Department of Transportation regulations. So, centralization of the means of communication and transportation. Yeah, guess we can put that one in their corner too. Not looking too good for us. Number seven, extension of factories and instruments of production owned by the state and bringing into cultivation of wastelands and the improvement of the soil generally in accordance with a common plan. Wow. Americans call it corporate capacity. The Desert Entry Act and the Department of Agriculture. They thus read, controlled or subsidized rather than owned. This is easily seen as as well as the Department of Commerce and Labor, Department of Interior, the Environmental Protection Agency, Bureau of Land Management, again, Bureau of Reclamation, Bureau of Mines, National Park Service, and the IRS control of business through corporate regulations. Wow. Okay. Hey, you guys getting depressed yet? I know I am. There's other correlations to this that you could find.
Number eight. Excuse me, just for a minute. Now, you can go ahead and finish if you want to go ahead and finish them, but we do have a caller who'd like to join the discussion, so just let me know when you're ready.
Okay. I'm only the three away, so I might as well finish this off. I'm duly depressed. Equal liability of all to labor. Establishment of industrial armies, especially for agriculture. Well, don't we call it the minimum wage? And slave labor, like dealing with our most favored nation trade partner, the Communist China. We see it in practice via the Social Security Administration and the Department of Labor. The national debt and inflation caused by the communal bank has caused the need for a two-income family. Women in the workplace since the 1920s. Women in the workplace since the 1920s. The 19th Amendment of the Constitution. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, assorted socialist unions, affirmative action, the federal public works programs, etc., etc., etc. So equal liability of all to laborers, establishment of industrial armies. You know, they've actually carried that one a step further. But number nine, combination of agriculture with manufacturing industries, gradual abolition of the distinction between town and country by a more equitable distribution of population over the country. Now, this one is a little, Americans call it Planning Reorganization Act of 1949. And the super corporate farms, as well as executive orders 11647, 11730, and 11731, and public law 89-136, these provide for forced relocation and forced sterilization programs, just like in China. Wow. And last but not least, free education for all children in public schools. Abolition of children's factories, labor in its present form, combination of education with industrial production. Well, we're being taxed to support what we call public schools, but are actually government force, the NEA, run by the teachers' union, where they use the words like, you know, fair share, and they run around the concept of democracy, not republic. Yeah, we give them free education. And you see the result of that. So there you have it, folks. There's all kinds of correlations that you can find to each and every one of these planks, and all of them just go to show one thing, that when you are asked what kind of country you live in, what is your structure of government, you can honestly say right now, it's communist.
It's true.
Tough to come to terms
and,
with.
You know, it's Americans have to face the fact, just because you were brainwashed, you know, think about what common core, communism, everything owned in common, the common square, everything is owned in common, and the rights of no private property. And, you know, it's we've been brainwashed through public education and the crazy news media and a variety of other sources for so long that you really have to really force people to think about this. It's like, this is what it is. Face the facts. Seek the truth. Face the truth. Then we have a chance to save America, which, as you said earlier, our dictator in office right now, Obama, he truly was an awakening to many people. If one of the others had won, probably that people would have dismissed the conspiracy loon routine and stuff like that. Well, little by little, it's being gnawed away. They knew they couldn't just come in and say, well, we're going to take away all your guns and your property and your rights and convert you to a communist country, not like a system conversion. You know, we're not going to go say, yes, now we're going to change all these things. They did it slowly, over time, methodically, and they said, we will do this, we'll destroy this country, and they won't even know what hit them. And that's really where we're at now. We, you know, many of us have realized and become informed and educated, but there's still many, until they feel the pain. I mean, getting food stamps isn't pain enough to some people, which I think is kind of sad, too. It says a lot about our society when people are proud to accept food stamps. I mean, it used to be, one, your community would take care of you, not the federal government. And two, taking public assistance meant that maybe people would think you weren't working hard enough. But now we've brainwashed people into such a state, it's not your fault. Nothing is your fault. It's never your fault. And sure, we'll give you a free cell phone. Sure, we'll give you a food stamp. Sure, we'll give you subsidized housing. Sure, now you're going to go work on the farm as one of our slaves. And people just never connect the dots. It's just amazing. We do have two callers out there now, so just let me know if there's any other comment before we go to the callers.
Well, unfortunately, just before we get there, there's something that my good friend Arnie pointed out to me the other day. You know, we've been paying attention to what's been going on out there in Nevada, but we really haven't kind of looked under the hood to see what it's all about. And when we do, what we find is something more disgusting than even all the criminal land dealings that Harry Reid is involved in. We find something that I never would have suspected. Have you heard of something called full faith and credit? Goodness, I can't remember the term. It's a Full Faith and Credit Act that basically says that what is a law in one state is supposed to be recognized as law in the next.
Right.
I wish I could remember. Okay, well, to that end, what we found, it wasn't me, but somebody decided to have a look-see at the Nevada Constitution. And they got to Article 1, where it gives us the Declaration of Rights. And that person, his name is Badnarik, Michael Badnarik. Most of you already know who he is.
Yep.
Starts off by saying, you know, this Section 2, Purpose of Government, Paramount Allegiance to the United States. What does that mean? And he says, it starts out okay. He says, all political power is inherent in the people. Government is instituted for the protection, security, and benefit of the people, and they have the right to alter or reform the same whenever the public good may require it. That sounds about right, doesn't it? But here we go. Right after that. But the paramount allegiance of every citizen is due to the federal government in the exercise of all its constitutional powers as the same have been or may be defined by the Supreme Court of the United States. And no power exists in the people of this or any other state of the federal union to dissolve their connection therewith or perform any act tending to impair, subvert, or resist supreme authority of the government of the United States. The Constitution of the United States confers full power on the federal government to maintain and perpetuate its existence, and whensoever any portion of the states or people thereof attempt to secede from the federal union or forcibly resist the execution of its laws, the federal government may, by warrant of the Constitution, employ armed force in compelling obedience to its authority. Folks, those are fighting words. And nobody even realized they were there. This is no joke. This is no discussion tea party arrangement here. Complete, absolute authority over you, your kids, your neighbors, your wife, your husband, grandmother. I don't know really how to put this into any more understandable words, but that pretty much sums it up. We have some callers. I better back off here a second.
Yes, we got three ready to speak right now, so I'm going to take you one at a time here. And the caller with the last four digits, 8879, you're on the air. Please give us your name.
Well, good evening, all. Good evening, Carl. Good evening, Arnie. Steve Curry, Western Colorado. Thanks
Steve.
For having me. Hey, Carl.
Steve.
You are an awesome dude, man. You know how to put it out there. And I have to tell you, folks, I have never worked in a company, in a band of brothers, with such integrity, such focus, such drive to put our country back on track. Carl, you are absolutely the man. You've been doing some tremendous work, and we are coming down, folks. We are coming down to the wire here. Between Carl, Arnie Rosner, Jeff, and Jason, and Dennis, and all these people are coming together to finally put the magnifying glass on certain individuals, certain activities that. I tell you, if the commoner were to know this, he or she would be outraged. They would be absolutely grabbing the pitchfork and loading the firearms. Now, we have to keep those people in check for a little bit because we don't want outrage. We want knowledgeable outrage. We want people out there that say, all right, we have to be intelligent. We have to be directed not to mess with our government structure that's been given to us, but to the corrupt individuals who have taken up residence in those government offices and who have, through corporate maneuvering and scandal and whatever word you want to use, have basically taken our country away from us. We cannot tolerate this. It's not going to happen on my watch. It's not going to happen on Carl's watch or Arnie's or Jason's or Jeff's or Dennis's. We need to get the word out there everywhere. I mean, this thing's got to go viral, and it's got to go there right now. We've seen, and we've been able to document right down to the gnat's butt as to what is taking place in Nevada and why. What is taking place in Texas, Washington, Oregon, you name it, folks. The BLM private corporate agency has been assigned the task from other corporations, private corporations, to, well, let's jump right into the Nevada thing. I got in late, Carl, but it looked like you were doing a thing on the Communist Manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
What we have in Reed, what we have in the BLM, what we have in the Bundy Ranch, it is nothing but the absolute corporate taking, and I mean corporate taking, of property belonging to the man, Mr. Bundy, and his family. The reason that they want this is that they've been paid to do so. Now, as we've uncovered just as recently as 48 hours ago, there exists within the Bundy Ranch and adjacent to the Bundy Ranch this giant meteoritic or asteroidal deposit of magnesium, what they're calling dolomite, actually is magnesium sulfate. Magnesium sulfate, its only origins can be traced back to a supernova. That's the only place that magnesium, being a higher element, heavier element, can be created, just like gold, silver, platinum, copper, iridium, osmium, vanadium, all of that. Those elements have to be created in such an environment of high pressure and high temperature. There's no planetary process to develop those things, to create those things. We have geologists trying to tell us that gold, gold sulfite, gold whatever, is created through the combination of hot volcanic magma and water. That is absolute nonsense. Real scientists, not our gatekeepers, not the one that sat down there at UNLV that told Rusty Hill, oh, well, that's all over the place, and it's not meteoritic. What Rusty Hill gave him was a meteorite. It was a meteorite fragment. All over the globe, folks, you just have to put common sense, common math skills to use here. We have what I've been fighting for 4 years is a legion of men and women in the meteorite market who have declared that meteorites are rare, only for the purpose of profiting from their find, profiting from their collection, profiting from their sale, profiting from alumni associations, museum memberships, to extort money from these innocent people to buy these stupid rocks. And I don't call them stupid for a reason. That's just what my judge called them. All of this over a stupid rock. All over this, this thing over a 6 grand piece of rock. What I pointed out to him was that 6-gram piece of rock represented a larger stash, a larger cache, a larger deposit of $38 million. And he goes, huh? As if he didn't know. What we have in the Bundy Ranch, again, magnesium sulfide, it is used as the igniting metal in rocket fuel. Think about a primer, folks. Your primers are all loaded up with magnesium sulfide, but at a very small percentage. Primers and bullets, that's what I'm referring to. But if you take magnesium sulfate and enlarge it, you have enough igniting, which is a fissionable process when you hit magnesium sulfate with electronic pulse, boom, you get an ignition. You're igniting combinations of nitrogen, oxygen, and hydrogen to create.
Steve, can I interrupt you for just a moment?
Yes,
listen,
sir.
Guys, I've been working on this this link with the broadcast all day, and it's been up all day. But unfortunately, the reason I was late is I had to step out for a minute and get some groceries. And when I stepped back, unfortunately, there had been some little glitch. Well, it is up right now. So if you would go to yourlivenetwork.com, go to the second show down below, and you'll be able to see what this weird character Carl Swinson actually looks like and in real time. So it's
okay,
there.
Carl, give me that link again, please.
Yourlivenetwork.com.
Thank you, buddy.
Hey, and the other callers, I do see you out there. We'll get to you. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will wrap mine up real quick.
Oh, it's okay. We've got a little over an hour yet, so we got time.
Okay. I don't want to take up everybody's room. I have a tendency to do that, and I apologize ahead of time. So what I was going to say about this deposit, this meteoritic and asteroidal deposit, Rusty Hill was right on when he took a specimen out of the field, took it to the geologist at UNLV, and the geologist says, nothing. We have that all over the place. Well, there's a reason why it was all over the place. This is a very old deposit. Back to the numbers for a minute. Just imagine our little planet Earth here is 4.567 billion years old. Multiply that number times 3 to 4,000 tons of meteoritic debris left over from the formation of our little system here. Multiply that number times 4.567 billion years old. Nothing is rare about these asteroids or meteorites. The Chinese, let me bring you up to date. Back in January 2010, the Chinese government put a limit on the exportation of their rare to-earth minerals and elements of 50%. They cut the U.S. market, the export market from Russia to U.S. by 50%. January 2013, they cut it by 95%. What does this mean? It means that the producers, the manufacturers of solar cells, wind turbines, electric motors for automobiles just got quite a bit more expensive. What the Chinese have is a monopoly on some of the major deposits of asteroids and meteorites in China. They let the Americans, you know, farm what they could in the United States. And by the way, there's quite a few deposits here left, but we're not really allowed to touch them. Those are held in reserve, just like our oil reserves. The Chinese have put the mighty kibosh on their exports, making the value of those minerals exceedingly expensive. What has happened since 2010-2013 is that rather than pay the extraordinary tariff tax that it would take to get rare earths transported from China to the United States. China came up with a beautiful solution. All right, you guys don't want to pay the tariff. Why don't you come and put your shops up here in China? Many, many U.S. corporations have folded their tents here. They've set up shop in China, usually under a very, very inexpensive real estate deal, land deal. Put your plant here. We'll supply you with all the inexpensive labor that you need to create your washing machines, your automotive engines, your solar cells. I can think
your
of
slave labor, right?
You betcha. You betcha.
Yeah.
So,
hey, Steve, we're gonna have we got a couple of other people that have got to get in here. So, if you don't mind,
not at all. Let me finish up with a quick sentence. Harry Reid and his family and his trust have been serving the Chinese. What does that tell you? They've been servicing the Chinese. Harry is an American citizen, we think. He is now a traitor. He is working for a foreign nation to take our nation down by stealing, by thievery of our natural resources. I take big offense to that. So on that line, I'll be quiet and let somebody else speak.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to go to the next caller. Let's see here. The last four digits, 4056. You're on the air. Please give us your name.
Hello, Sally. Arnie Rosner.
Hey, Arnie. I should have recognized that phone number. Sorry about that.
Hey, no problem. Well,
how are you doing?
Good. You know, this is amazing. Everybody's got their own little perspective on this. And one thing that seems to be very common is that we don't own our country anymore. They stole it from us. 1933. What a year. Roosevelt gets in, and the first thing he does is he consecrates the American people, the land of this country, and everything else we have and hold dear to our creditors. That was in his original acceptance speech. And then he goes on in that same period and issued proclamations 2038, 2039, and 2040. And part of that was the Banking Holiday Act. And within that, there was a small amendment, the Trading with the Enemies Act, which was originally created in 1917 for the First World War, where there were enemies of America involved in dealing with our enemies. But that excluded Americans. However, in this period of 1933, they made the small amendment to include all Americans as enemies of the state. So all of us as Americans have been enemies of the state since 1933. And they did a lot of other interesting things. They created a system of government, essentially, where the Congress pre-approves anything the president, whoever that might be, wants to do. And that has been since 1933. So the behavior of Obama with all these executive orders is more show, because he already has the complete authority as a dictator. And so has every president since 1933. Some chose to use it more directly than others. Personally, I think that's all part of the giant scheme that's in place. And you see that the Congress is doing nothing except enhancing what Obama is doing. Now, you got to ask yourself why. Why would they put in the NDAA giving the government the opportunity to take American citizens without any due process. Well, if you combine that in light with Carl revealed earlier, you can see that anytime they choose, they can take out any American citizen, whether they're on American soil or not. So you got to be, you know, pretty dense when you start putting these pieces together not to get it. Now, in my own personal point of view, I've concluded that the government that's in place in Washington, D.C., is not the government of the American people. These are imposters, even though they appear to be elected and everything. These people are imposters acting a role and creating this illusion of a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But in reality, it's a corporation owned by the British Crown and ultimately the Queen. If you have any questions about that, go check on Social Security. You'll find that the Social Security is an act in which the Queen is involved. Now, why would that be? And the more you look into it, the more you find out that all of these pieces separately don't seem to mean much. But when you put them together, it paints a very vivid picture that we've been under their control, under the control of the Queen, that's my conclusion, since 1933. The Marty. Bundy Ranch thing brings out another whole aspect of this in that the BLM over the last 30 to 50 years in places like Nevada, although we know that it's happening in Texas and New Mexico as well, they are doing all of these harassment things to deprive people of their property. In fact, there's even a video I remember of the California desert north of Los Angeles where they've done the same thing. They bring in the troops, the mercenaries. These are not American soldiers. They have weaponized the agencies like the BLM, which essentially should be an administrative system. They're just there managing the land. So why would they arm them? And speaking of arming, why would they arm all the other agencies like Social Security, like the mail system? Post office employees are being given part of this. They've ordered weapons and ammunition. You know all about the large ammunition purchases and all the armored vehicles. And now Obama has confiscated most of the helicopters. I don't know the exact number, but that's reported that they take in the helicopters from the states. And now they're bringing tanks in from Europe. What does that suggest to you? And if you add to that, there's reports of Russian troops and Chinese troops on American soil. Now, I can't vouch for that, but the suggestion begins to come together, and it doesn't look good. So on top of that, we see what they're doing with the Bundy case, and other things have turned up, as was mentioned, the Harry Reid family. This gentleman who was on YouTube, interviewed by Gary Franchi. His name is Randy Hill. He's been in real estate most of his life. And he's been investigating these things, the BLM and in the Western states. And he's come to realize that the Reed family is involved in purchases in that area, adjacent to properties supposedly owned by the BLM. Well, my friends, the government does not own property. The people own property. So if they owned a property, it would be in the name of the people, and they don't have a right to be doing all of the things that they do. In fact, there's court case, the Hague case, as an example, that would show that the courts ruled in favor of the ranchers – and the BLM, Harry Reid, and the rest of the administrators of the BLM know this case is in effect, and yet they are pursuing this anyhow, and we believe it has to do with deals they've made with the Chinese to provide the power, the solar power basis, and give the Chinese control over the solar generation of electricity in this country. And that amounts to treason to me. And what's really interesting, and this Rusty Hill points out that the properties that the corporations and the family, the Reed family, control, through some very interesting manipulations, the property the BLM claims to own gets physically smaller, and the adjacent properties owned and controlled by the Reeds and the corporate interests seem to be getting larger. And there's no monetary exchanges which would justify the changes of ownership. That kind of smells like fraud to me. And under these bases, I had spoken with a sheriff in Nevada this morning, and he revealed a lot of information that leads me to believe we as the people cannot trust the Congress or anybody else to deal with Mr. Reid, that the people themselves must really pursue this with great vigor through local politicians, county politicians, and state politicians to prosecute this criminal.
Yeah. That pretty much sums that up. And in the context of what that purpose, the stated purpose of government is in Nevada, it goes hand in hand. I mean, it gives absolute dictatorial power to the federal government to do what they want, when they want it, where they want, at their discretion, and we are nothing more than slaves. And that's exactly why, Arnie, the good faith and credit clause is so important. Now, I'm going to try and schedule an interview with my governor to find out exactly I want to ask him when there was any kind of rebuttal submitted to this particular portion of that, because with none, silence is consent.
Well, Carl, if I may add something in terms of correction or methods, in the first place, as the people, we are supreme in authority. The federal government has no authority except what we give them. Sheriff DeMeo of Nye County has got some videos on YouTube, and he goes into it extremely well. And Nye County has no problem with the federal government because Sheriff DeMeo has stood up for the American people like all sheriffs should be standing up. And Sheriff DeMeo has announced his retirement, and the second in command is a gentleman named Rick Marshall, that's with two L's, is running for sheriff in the next coming election. This man is another man that seems to me to be as rock solid as a sheriff could ever be. And they have maintained control over the federal government in Nye County, which shows it can be done. And that begs the question, in whose bed is the sheriff in the county in which the Bundy Ranch is located? In whose bed is he sleeping?
Clark County would be Sheriff Gillespie.
Very good, thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, it's nice to be able to expose some of these things. And I've worked out an idea which I'm not, it's not been tested, but it makes sense to me. And if I could get 25 patriots to stand up with me here locally, I would do it. But it's roughly 12 steps. And it starts off with just gathering 25 people or more and start with your local government, city council or county commission, and establish for whom they work. Ask them to produce their most recent pay stub, because it will indicate from where the money comes that pays them. And, of course, if it comes out of the city or county treasury, the people are the ones that put the money in there. So it establishes that they are public servants. And by virtue of them accepting the very first check when they became elected and were seated in the office, that establishes a contract based upon their oath of office. And violation of the oath, even though they ignore it, constitutes perjury, insurrection, and rebellion against the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. That's the Constitution with a large C.
Yes.
And with their culpability and responsibility established, then we move to a next step. There is the right per 63 AMJUR, that's the American jurisprudence, demand for identification and creation, or, sorry, demand for identification and credentials, quo warranto. And every public servant has the obligation to produce this on demand by any citizen, citizen of the United States of America. Not the corporate citizen, but any citizen that is a true American, a citizen on the land. And then,
would you please explain that one thing to people, because that is very important what you're saying, and people don't understand it. So please expand just a little bit, Arnie.
Okay. Well, there's two classes of citizenship. One is the real live person who has supreme authority. They are the sovereigns. You have, may have heard of the sovereign movement as being a bunch of radicals, and this is what they would like you to believe, but it's the sovereign people of this country who own it and control it, and they are the rightful owners of this country. That's all of us. And then there is the artificially created citizenship, which, by the way, is the reason they want this immigration thing to be brought out, to put in place, because everybody that is becomes a citizen, the government uses that person as equity against which they float about $1 billion worth of cash flow on the anticipated income those people will generate over their lifetime. It's a complicated process, and it's called the Sescovy Trust. It's a gimmick, folks. We have been conned from the beginning. So that's two of the types of citizenship. One is the person. The other is an artificial, actually a corporate body. And the corporate body is the one they control when they drag you into their corporate courts, which are not the courts of the people. These are the courts, I believe, are controlled by the Queen, the British Empire. The monies that are collected, fines and all that, are all going back to the monetary system and ultimately to whomever is behind all of these banking issues. Now, we're back in the city council or the county commission. And there are statutes, their own statutes. And in California, we have some that apply to the responsibilities and accountability of public servants with respect to their duties to safeguard the citizens' safety. So when they take the oath of honor office, they are also assuming responsibility to provide you with public safety, and it's at all levels, whoever takes the oath. So they can't go into this game where, it's out of our jurisdiction, and they blame it on another area. They send you to the federal level. The federal level says, well, that's not our problem. You got to go to your local politicians, which they're right. It starts locally. That's why all of this is recommended as a test, because it hasn't been tested yet, to my knowledge. But to first get our city councils and our county commissions straight with their responsibilities to us, they are our public servants, and we are their masters, and we must address them in this manner at all times. We can be courteous, but we need to be firm and assertive. Once you get your city council or county commission, then you need to go to the local police chief and or the county sheriff and address them in the same manner. If you've got your city under control, then you have a place from which to work to take the state back.
Yeah, that's it. Arnie, there's just you just touched on a little bit of what we've been, of what you've come across for sure, just a little bit. And folks, I want to tell you that there is an absolute treasure trove of research knowledge contained on Arnie's site called the Scanned Retina. ScannedRetina.com, and I've got, well, I have it up on the big screen in back of me. You owe it to yourself if you really want to cut to the chase and get to the root of the issues that we're talking about. You owe it to yourself to spend a little time there. I was talking to Arnie earlier today, and he was telling me that visitors there tend to stay a good long time because there's just so much important information there. There's a search feature on there that allows you to go and find that which is applying towards what you're looking at. You know, the halls of Alexandria that were demolished, I sometimes wonder if they contained as much information as is on this one site alone. And that leads us to the next point before we get to the third caller, and that is one of the ideas that we're coming up with, and when I say we, it's a group of people, including Arnie, myself, Steve, and some others out there, the Keith Brothers, you name it. There's a whole bunch of them that have decided we need a central place that we can go to where everything can be found, a library, so to speak, a library for patriot action groups, a library for discussions, a library of knowledge that we know that the media is going to continue to refuse to give you, and the teachers will refuse to teach you. If we want to teach our children right so that they understand what it is they're doing in this life and put everything in the proper context, we can only do that by arming them with the truthful knowledge. And that is the thrust of what I'm going to be doing with the Your Life Network. That is the thrust of what Arnie and this other group is going to be doing in order to get everybody we can to centralize that knowledge base and increase traffic flow to each and every one. There's some sites out there I run across, Arnie, every day where I've never heard of them before, and yet they too have a treasure trove, and they just didn't get a chance to get it out there.
Carl?
Yes?
I just want to make one point that I find extremely important. Through the years, we have been led to believe that authorities come from the government, from the states, from the cities, and they point to documents, and some people have a proclivity to go back to history, history of this country, history of Great Britain, and things of all of this nature, and they feel compelled to accept the authorities and the directions that this history would seem to indicate applies. And while we are guided, at least in my view, the founding documents to me are perfect the way they are. The problem we are experiencing is that the people who we elected in good faith and have been paying them under a contract have violated their oaths of office and their fiduciary responsibilities. They've committed treason, and they have dishonored their pledge, their commitment, their fellow Americans. So there's nothing wrong with the founding documents. We don't need another convention. To get started, there may be some changes that may need to be made or people choose to be made, but this is the key. The people are in charge. And if the people decided to do something different than what's there, they could do that. They don't need anybody's authority. They don't need anybody's permission. The people are the supreme people of this country.
Yep, that is correct. And that's one of those, dirty little secrets that you're not supposed to know. Oh, my goodness gracious. Sally, we had one other caller on there, and I didn't mean to cut him off. Who else is out there?
Okay, they're still there waiting patiently. So, last four digits, 5940. You're on the air, and can we get your name?
It's Eli in Chicago, and I've been waiting very patiently, although it's nice to listen to patriots speaking their minds, and I have to agree with Arnie and the previous caller about the constitutionality, or lack thereof, of the BLM and these various agencies of the federal government, starting with FDR, okay? But I have a comment. Carl, you read from the Constitution of Nevada, and that's quite shocking that that oath of loyalty to the federal government is contained in your Nevada Constitution. It's really horrible, if that's the exact language. I want to cite two Supreme Court rulings that actually deny the context and the statement that you just quoted. First of all, there's Pollard's Lessee versus Hagen, ruling in 1845, that involved, actually, that's the second one, but I'll quote it since I made it first. Pollard's Lessee involved conflicting claims by the United States and Alabama of ownership of certain partially inundated lands on the shore of the Gulf of Mexico in Alabama. The court ruled Alabama is therefore entitled to the sovereignty and jurisdiction over all the territory within her limits subject to the common law to the same extent that Georgia possessed it before she ceded to the United States. And this is the ruling that the Supreme Court made. In addition, it said to Alabama belong the navigable waters and soils under them in controversy, in this case, subject to the rights surrendered by the Constitution of the United States. Ooh. And no compact that might be made between her and the United States could diminish or enlarge these rights. In other words, it's called the equal footing ruling, that every state that comes under the U.S. Constitution subsequent to the original 13 colonies, original 13 states, is on equal footing with those 13 states and has total ownership of all the lands granted to them in their state charter. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that clear? All right? So Nevada owns that land, not the Bureau of Land Management. Okay?
Excellent.
And that paragraph you quoted from the Nevada Constitution is in error and actually contradicts the ruling of the Supreme Court. The other ruling is Escanaba Company versus the City of Chicago, and this was in 1883, and this is actually the what established the equal footing doctrine. So the Supreme Court ruled in favor of the equal footing concept again in 1883. So all states that entered the Union subsequent to the original 13 states enter on an equal footing with the original 13 states. That means they own the land, and BLM has no right to it. At the very most, BLM can lease the land and pay the government the same kind of fees that the Bundy people and all the other ranchers have been paying, right? That's the most they can claim. They cannot claim ownership. The federal government does not own any of that land, period.
May I drop a point here?
Okay.
I would like to suggest that we form a large group of people and claim the property in which Washington, D.C. is formed as belonging to the American people. And we evict all of the people there and also in the United Nations.
Yes, right, sure, sure.
Do we have a show of hands?
Oh, yeah, I'm going for that. Yeah. And, but I have a disagreement with Arnie about 1933. The actual turning over of the sovereignty of our nation began in 1913 under Woodrow Wilson, who was equally as bad a president and as internationalist a president as FDR, because he signed the Federal Reserve Act. He signed the IRS Income Tax Amendment. All of these are unconstitutional. And he allowed the creation of the tax-exempt corporations. These were horrible pieces, totally unconstitutional. We would have never gotten involved in World War I. The Federal Reserve Bank would have never crashed the economy in 1929, which they did, which set the stage for FDR. And we know that FDR had Huey Long assassinated so that Huey Long couldn't challenge him for the presidency. It was the Federal Reserve Bank that assassinated McFadden, Congressman McFadden, who exposed the fact that the Federal Reserve Bank was actually supporting the Bolshevik Revolution. They assassinated FDR because he issued Executive Order 11110, which created constitutional money. This is what's going on, folks. The real culprit is the Federal Reserve Bank, who runs our country, has no, there's no oversight by Congress of the Federal Reserve Bank whatsoever.
There's no oversight on Congress.
Right. Well, Congress, and then the CIA is basically the strong arm, and now the BLM is the strong arm for this unconstitutional setup.
Can I ask your name one more time?
It's Eli from Chicago.
Eli, we'd love to hear from you if you would get in touch with either myself or Arnie.
Mm-hmm.
Arnie's site is the Scanned Retina.
Okay.
please go there. And mine is P. Revere at Rise Up for America. Please contact me. Doesn't matter who. We'll both share your contact information.
Yes.
You obviously have. We're looking for more and more research people. You know, the one thing I wanted to point out to you, Eli, is that here we are in this current situation trying to get the message across, and you know and I know that now for the past, 30 years, the message concerning the Federal Reserve has continually been put out there by the likes of Ron Paul and others.
And everybody's
totally
been ignoring it.
Exactly. So obviously that one hasn't worked, and therefore the idea of finding a point, a reference point where people can look to and say, well, this definitely did it. You know, that's why we're going towards the 33 information, because it was at that time where not only did he put the Trading with the Enemies Act on steroids and bring it onshore, but he also started the process of creating all this many, many legions of agencies that were put out there to eke out our subsistence.
That's absolutely correct, but I have to stress that the Federal Reserve Bank is the reason why all these federal agencies are funded. They're illegally funded by the Federal Reserve Bank. There are no accounting books at all of what the Federal Reserve Bank does, and that's how the BLM and all these illegal, unconstitutional federal agencies are funded. They're funded by the Federal Reserve Bank.
Eli, not only that, but two other points, if I may. One, the amendment to the Trading with the Enemies Act, which made Americans as enemies of the state, permitted the courts to deny any American standing. You probably heard that a lot over the last couple of years.
I'm sitting. I'm not standing.
Yeah, because as an enemy, you have no standing, and
yeah,
you can't
right.
go in and challenge the stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the
well,
other
can
point,
I, can I throw some water on a little bit of this, if I may?
Hang on a minute, Steve. Just
okay,
a second.
Go ahead.
Let me finish with this point. Eli's credit about the Federal Reserve, the money collected by the IRS, by the way, doesn't go to the Treasury to fund the government. It goes to the IMF. And
right.
when they think what's happening right now, and this is perfect, Eli, the
mm-hmm.
federal government is printing money round the clock. The money, 10%, it goes immediately to the bankers. That money is then deposited in government checking accounts. It's not real
right.
money. That. There's nothing behind it. It's pure
right.
money. And it is being to pay all the bills, your Social Security. All of the troops are being paid with this money that has no value.
Mm-hmm.
And they
it's inflation.
Have an unlimited
right.
supply.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how everything is being funded right now. It's pure illusion. Everything,
right.
the whole concept is one major illusion.
Well, this is exactly how the troops of the French Revolution were being funded, by fiat money. And you know what happened to the French Revolution after it collapsed, right? After the reign of terror? History is repeating itself, as the, I forget the host's name, she said at the beginning of the show that history is repeating itself. It sure is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, let's start with Harry Reid, because this is very real, and the treason seems evident, and the evidence seems so overpowering that all Americans should be so outraged at this, that this man gets on television and discredits the real patriots. He calls the patriots who stood up at the Bundy Ranch as, well, first he called
yeah, domestic
it,
terrorists. That's the
yeah.
phrase he used, domestic terrorists. Right.
Well, and he also used something to do with, I forget the term, but it was, it referred to people who were there as visitors or something.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, out-of-state visitors, vacationers, yeah, right, as if he has any legal standing, the traitor that he is, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, okay, well, thanks for taking my call. Yeah,
thank
I just
you
wanted
very much
to throw
for
that
joining
in
us. Thank you for joining us. That was,
okay, sure.
That was
You're
very
welcome.
Timely.
Take care, and God bless. God save America. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Well, that is what we're talking about here, folks. We have we've gotten to that point, and I don't know what more you need as an incentive to be part of what's going on in Washington on May 16th. But if that doesn't compel you, get you out of your seat, get you in a vehicle, get you in a bus, get you in a plane, put you in a wheelchair so somebody can pick you up on the side of the road. If that doesn't do it, God, I don't know what will. I just don't. Ooh, it just it gets me. Now, I want to throw something else out there. We're going to have to be our own media. We're going to have to be our own teachers. We're going to have to assume the responsibility that we have advocated all these years. We're going to have to come out of the shells that we've been in and exert the proper authority that we've always had and put this Leviathan back into its cage. And that cage is the 10 square inside of D.C. Now, I don't know about you, but I was looking recently at an older picture of the federal lands, the federal territories that was the jurisdiction of the United States. And by the way, the United States is not, I repeat, is not the United States of America. They are a wholly owned separate corporation that is running your lives. So I was looking at that, and I was actually looking at places in Nevada, and Utah. And the area at that time that they were claiming as their own was just a small fraction of the territory that they now claim is theirs. Right now, if you look at that same map, Nevada is 80% territory owned. That is not possible. That is not possible. So what they have been doing, they have been seizing lands. They have been taking them by the various agencies that have been thrown out there against us. And those limited amounts of territory are now no longer limited. They are almost all-encompassing. So what Eli was saying, what we've been trying to tell you about and warn you about for the longest time, it's here. It's at our doorstep. And one more time, if you cannot see the reason why your presence is not required in D.C. on the 16th, then, my friend, you are either on the side of the enemy or you are physically brain dead, period, end of statement. Now,
kudos.
I will leave it up to anybody else to carry on this conversation.
Well, let me chime in here, if I may.
Go ahead.
We've discussed the 33 declaration from Roosevelt. Here's something that I have been working on, and you guys have seen some of it. But let's take 33, and let's go back to a period of time that was very very near our Declaration, very near our Constitution. We have to go back and really pick this thing apart. We pick the Constitution apart. We pick the Declaration apart. We look at the Declaration of Independence. We look at the Articles of Confederation. What we have found, and I've shared with a number of you, is the fact that a Supreme Court had been launched as the third Department of Government, and under Marshall, in 1803, we had a case, a very, very important case come up, and I've put it in a lot of my recent works, and it was Marbury versus Madison, and I now have the very, very original Marbury versus Madison. It is unredacted, not revised. It's not been messed with. What we find there are the threads that were left unmessed with by our founding fathers, and they were under orders not to mess with these very two things. One was commercial law, which had been designed, created, and it had worked for the British Empire all over the globe. Two, the enforcement arm for commercial law, which was the judiciary. The case of Marbury versus Madison. Marbury was a lowly junkie, I'm going to call him that. He was from Illinois. I mean, he wanted to be a magistrate for the federal government in D.C. He wanted a courtroom. And that was Marbury. Madison, as the Secretary of State under Jefferson, did not want to give it to him. He went crying to the Queen. He says, "Oh, these guys aren't giving me a job." Jefferson was sitting as president. Jefferson said, "Not on my watch." Okay. So Marbury, he goes back to the Queen and he says, "These guys aren't letting me play in the game." "Well, go fight them, and here's a guy to help you, Clarence Lee, or Charles Lee, Esquire. We'll send him over there." What was started right there in the arguments, they go back a couple of years before the rulings of 1803, Charles Lee, Esquire argued that the executive department of this new country called the United States of America needed to have in its executive department an executive department of foreign affairs. Jefferson says, "What the hell are you talking about?" Well, you need to sign ambassadors, and you need to recognize foreign leaders, and you need to work with these people. And Jeff says, wait a minute, we're a free country. Madison also knew. He said, something stinky about this. There's just something really smelly about all of this. Charles Lee argued with the Supreme Court, a brand new Supreme Court, mind you. We need to give the president the power of appointment of commissions for your judiciary. Jefferson said, nope, not on my watch. Madison said, nope, ain't going to work here. The Supreme Court actually took Charles Lee's arguments, says, okay, well, we'll entertain the King's Bench Court here, just to humor us a little bit. As it turns out, the justices that sat on that Supreme Court ruled against Charles Lee and Great Britain. But what we have to understand, too, Marbury and Madison, Charles Lee was arguing, too, about land grants. Land grants, individual rights, and the executive power to appoint. All of that was dismissed. The Supreme Court guys that were sitting on the bench said, no, we're a free nation. Well, the arguments that came into that court of law, we can follow the chain. We can actually see the power of the Queen from England, and she is absolutely insistent on Charles Lee getting this done. And she gets into a big fight with Jefferson and Madison. They're both very good patriots. What it all boiled down to, and I've put this into some of my work, and you guys have seen it, the Supreme Court ruled, said, no way. If the President of the United States has to deal with a department that's actually put into his administration, the Executive Department of Foreign Affairs, he would be violating the people's right to fair elections. Right then and there, the Supreme Court, Jefferson, Madison stood their ground and they said, no, this is the people's country. Well, you can see what's been subverted since that time. The Queen and all of the people who have been infiltrated into legislative and executive, they have absolutely tarnished, covered up all the rulings of that Supreme Court to allow them executive privilege of being appointed, stripping the American people of the right to free election. This is so key. And at the very same time, the Supreme Court said, no, you don't have any right over our lands. The land grants are ours. You don't have that. Well, what was sustained through Marbury and Madison was two things. One, commercial law from England. Two, oversight, a enforcement arm of the judiciary. So Marbury versus Madison rulings are, people look at them and they go, well, it's kind of wishy-washy. What Marshall did later on, and several Supreme Court justices, they said, well, we don't see Marbury versus Madison rules as being too bad, so let's implement this, let's implement that. And by erosion over time, over several presidencies with stacking of the court, et cetera, all the way up to the stacking of the court of Roosevelt, we have found that an absolute treasonous derogation of the rights of the American people. So 1933 is very important, but let's take it back all the way to the Founding Fathers, who actually capitulated a little bit to grant the Queen her rights to commercial law and the enforcement arm thereof. We're stuck with them now.
Well, this goes hand in hand. This goes hand in hand with the research that is currently going on right now for that period of time, just prior to and just after the enactment of things like the Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance, and all of that. You know, there's a group out there that most of you are not aware of. They're working silently, but knowing full well that we don't have a lawful government in place right now, and they are marching in the footsteps, marching down the path of the founders, looking at the mistakes, because hindsight is in fact perfect, and see where they misstepped and what we can do to correct those. That group has is working diligently to form first the original 13, and we're right there. I think we're only missing or only lacking Delaware to get there. It's called the Union States, and you can find them at theunionstates.org, folks. Right now, if you want to look somewhere to try and find a lawful government, that's it. That's all there is, and that's us, you and me, we the people, that's it. So for those of you who are inclined to get active in retaking this nation and putting it back on the path that we originally started on, here's your way to do it. Now, I strongly suggest that you get involved with these people. I know I am. I brought on the delegation for Georgia and declared its lawful status, and others have done the same all across the country, as a matter of fact. But we have to get the first 13 on before we can start to address the issues that were perverted and subverted from the documents like the Constitution. There's other documents that really don't apply these days, such as the Northwest Ordinance, and definitely not the Paris Peace Accords, because If you look at the Paris Peace Accords, oh my goodness, there was an agreement there of sorts. I can say there was an agreement between some lawyers on the part of the Queen and or the King over there, and maybe one or two lawyers here. But the agreement they came up with said, okay, you guys, we'll recognize you as states now, but you know what? They never ceded. They never ceded the land, ever, to this day. And so that begged the question, now why wouldn't they cede the land? And we looked and looked and looked and finally found it. It wasn't theirs to cede. We had to go all the way back to the Magna Carta. And when we got to the Magna Carta, we found out the reason why that document was created. That was just to save the king's butt and his family from being executed. And in order to do that, he had to hand over all of the land that was under his control, all of the land that his heirs would ever control, over to the Vatican. You want to know who owns this stuff to this day? I dare any of you to try and prove me wrong on that. You can't. The Vatican owns all the land. And through their agents, through their minions, has silently maintained that control through the ages, through the centuries. So the problem with our school books and our history and the teaching that's going on is there's more that they don't want you to know than they can allow you to know. So that's what we have been given, just bits and pieces that suit a particular purpose. And, you know, if you want to say it suits the Queen's purpose, you would be right. If you want to say it suits the Vatican's purpose, you would be right. If you want to say it suits the shield bearers of this world, the members of that, what did we find it was, Arnie, the four ends?
yeah.
The attorneys of this world, you know, the shield bearers, the esquires, the ones that were supposed to be omitted from even getting involved in this in the first place. And that's still there. Look at Article 1, Section 8. Look at the very last paragraph of that. It's still there. Nobody enforces it, but, you know, it's... and of course, you're going to find that they will naturally say, oh, no, that we're, you know, that's no title of nobility. Of course not. Okay, well, we the people beg to differ. We the people see that the results of the actions of those shield bearers has done nothing more than maintain control of the Queen and of the Vatican in this part of the world since we began. So, with that, I will yield. I'm sorry, I get off on a diatribe.
Carl, that's a marvelous fairy tale that everybody has expanded on, so mm-hmm. that everybody listening understands that it is a fairy tale.
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
that as the people, we are in charge. And as the people, we have the authority, the supreme authority in this country. That's what the experiment was all about. In America, every man is a king and every woman would be considered a queen. We are the people, and the people are the ultimate arbiters. We report to no one except our Creator, and we're all on equal footing because the Creator created us with equal inalienable rights. Natural law, God's law, however you want to choose to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. all of this has been a one hell of a Hollywood production that has gone on from the beginning. And it's time to put the myth to bed.
Yes, sir.
And where are we going to do it, Ernie? Where are we going to put it to bed?
May
16th. We're going to put it to bed in D.C. on the 16th. Come on, folks. Get with the program. If you want your country back, show up in numbers that they cannot ignore. And I want to throw one more thing on top of what Arnie just said. Yeah, it's up to us. And you know something? They dared us, literally dared us on occasions to do just that. My personal experience with that is when I had an issue with one congressman, and it had to do with Obama. I had an issue with a congressman by the name of Tom Price. I asked Mr. Price when he was going to deal with this issue. And after him and on for a little while, he finally got serious, looked me in the eye, and said, when you can make me feel it. When you can make me feel it. Now, folks, not just once, but he used those words twice within a period of about 3 months.
Oh, boy.
And I was a little bit taken aback at that because of the brazen nature that he used in expressing it. But I knew then that he was 100% correct. He was being 100% honest with me. And, folks, if we do not make them feel it, it ain't gonna happen. So we have got to get together now.
You bet. Can I put a stroke in there, Carl?
Go for it.
To add to both what you and Arnie are alluding to, and I certainly can't take credit for this, but it seems to be something I've been working on and been struggling to find that key point, that key argument, that magic button, that key to the vault, if you would, that absolute piece of information we need, and I think we've found it through a gentleman, Carl, known as Carl Wentz.
Yes.
This fellow is absolutely marvelous. You guys have looked at his work, and I am so struck by the simplicity, the absolute common sense of it. Carl Wentz will only do common law. Common law should be the pervasive argument throughout the United States, Canada. It is the argument of Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and England. What he does, in two sentences, he can clear a client. He can clear a individual, a man or a woman, that has been charged in two sentences, which he produces in court by either voice or by the written the things that he writes. And what he writes is this, and let me preface it with his experience. He had 12 years experience in the courts going, geez, this doesn't really make any sense, but okay, I'll keep working at it, and I'll keep going back into the court, and all the legalese, all the constitutional crap. But he, one day, he was sitting there looking at two columns of books that he had collected, law books, 8 foot high. And he decided right then and there, he took all of those law books and he threw them out and put them in the trash. And it was for this very reason that man and woman eclipse in the hierarchy everything except God. And there is no one to touch a man or woman. There's no one to have jurisdiction over a man or woman ever. It is the man and woman, the natural man, the natural woman, in a state of inherency from their birth. They control. They have self-governing powers. They rule. And he identifies the courts, again, as corporate. And the suffering that takes place from a corporate takeover of one's property is absolutely forbidden, prohibited. You can't do it because we are not the toys of the court. We are not the property of the court unless we give them that consent. We are not corporate property. By no means can we be incorporated without our consent, our authority, our jurisdiction. So basically what Carl Lentz says in a nutshell, you flip the court. You put paperwork in, or you make a statement to the court, you have no authority over me, and here's why. You are a corporation. You are a fictitious, artificial, two-dimensional nothing. You do not exist unless I give you the power to exist. And that's how he wins. And he is so right. If you look at corporate, definitions of corporations, we find that they're identified as artificial, fictitious, two-dimensional pieces of paper that only have, something under law. They're only defined under someone's interpretation of law. It is at that point that the judiciary, the executive branch, whoever formed themselves up as sovereign over the people, bang, they're gone. They are artificial. They've just been invented.
It's an illusion.
It is an illusion.
And on that note, excuse me, guys, just to let you know we're down to about 6 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. I'll stop right there. Carl, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to... No, I don't even have time to read what I want to do, but I need to get in touch, obviously, with Carl so that I can have him out here on air so that the world can see him. And that's going to be our duty and our charge here coming up, Steve. Steve has been designated as the head of this new board that is being formed right now. To bring everybody together. That's what we're all about, and that's exactly what we're going to do. So, just all I can say is it's coming. It's almost here. We're almost ready to unveil it. But this part of it is being unveiled now, and I'm going to keep this up as long as I'm able, and as long as the good Lord is willing. We're gonna improve and make this the news of the internet. We're gonna make this the place that people are going to want to come to get their news, because we have no other place to go. We haven't had a place to go in that regard. So just keep in mind, folks, that there's people out there working for you. There's people out there who understand your plight, who feel your pain, and who are dead set against the treatment that we are all being delivered by this federal nightmare. There's people out there. We're working on it, and we're going to get it done. But we need your help. We need you to do your duty, your due diligence. It's up to you. If you want it back, then you're going to have to. You're going to have to prove it. You're going to have to prove it to your neighbor, to your friends, to your wife. You're going to have to prove it by getting off your duff, no matter what the cost, and getting there on the 16th. Regardless of anything you hear, we know what the order of business is. We know what we have to do. The demands have been made, and the demands must be followed through with. It is our charge to make sure that these unlawful agents, representing whomever you choose to say they represent, all we know is they do not represent us. They must go. We are the only ones that can do it. Come with us. Be a part of this. This is history. We're revealing it, and we're making it. And it's up to you to make it happen. With that, I will yield.
Well, this has been an excellent discussion, and we are down to just a couple of minutes here. Thank you so much for everyone calling in and joining the discussion. And, you know, this is really what it is. United we stand, divided we will not survive. So please, 25 days until OAS, Operation American Spring, and we have got to have that same emotion and passion of what happened in Nevada. We have got to take it to the front steps of the Capitol, Washington, D.C. We are the sovereign government of this country. These people have lost their way, have no rights to be in office, and we've got to force it. We have got to. It's our country. It's our country, and either take it back, or we're going to lose it. It's really just that simple. And on that note, any other quick comments from Arnie or Steve? We got, like I say, 2 minutes.
Go ahead, Arnie.
Let me make one quick one. For those of you who want to stay on the website, Your Live Network, and turn on the player, and I will read to you the most salient document that you will hear tonight. And also, an artist has put something together that I want to play for you before I sign off for the evening. And with that, Steve, Arnie, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, just a quick note, I was talking with Keith Broders earlier today, and he has some new graphics on his website, the Constitution Club, and he would like everybody to take a look at that. I think everybody will get a big kick out of it.
Also,
ConstitutionClub.com?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
yes.
It would be great for people who feel motivated to really take action, take advantage of the great work that Keith Broders has done with the Constitution Club. He's put together an array of websites that represent all counties in this country. And by joining the Constitution Club, you will have the ability to communicate with all other Americans who are so motivated and really get the job done.
Thanks, Arnie. Thanks,
well,
Steve. Thanks, Sally.
Yes. Thank you so much, and God bless America. Please, God bless America, and help us see this through. We can take back our country, and we must take back our country. And on that note, thanks again, and tune in tomorrow night. You have a very nice evening and good night.
Thank you.